Amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 19. I want to read one verse as we begin our thoughts this morning. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. The Bible says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Folks, Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. Now, the subject that we're dealing with this morning, with the Lord willing, we'll finish up our studies on this subject this morning. The title of the lesson is America in the End Times. America in the End Times. Where does America fit in end time prophecy? I taught through the book of Revelation in this Sunday school class. We actually taught 52 lessons. And by the way, Brother Dean and Brother Levi have them online. You can go online to our church website and all the lessons. The manual is all there and all. And during that time, we didn't deal with America specifically, where America fits into end time prophecy. And we've been trying to deal with that for the last few weeks. One thing is for certain, though. Whether you agree with my position on where America fits in end time prophecy, I think we'll all agree that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord of all. Our lessons are based on a threefold statement of belief. Number one, America will exist. This is my position and my belief on this subject. America will exist as a world power and as a friend of Israel until the rapture takes place. Number two, America will fall overnight when the rapture does take place. And number three, I believe that America will be aligned with the coalition of the Antichrist beast during the tribulation period. Our study has been based on those three thoughts. Now, concerning the first thought, that America will exist as a nation and as a friend of Israel until the rapture, I believe there's three primary reasons for that. The first reason is, I believe, because America has done more than any other nation to secure the blessings of God under the promises of the Abrahamic covenant. I won't reteach that this morning. I'm just simply reviewing very quickly. Secondly, I believe that America will exist as a nation because in the last 150 years, America has done more than any other nation to fulfill the Great Commission. America has been a nation that has fulfilled the Great Commission. Now, let me say concerning both of these two, we spent a long time on it. Again, I won't reteach it this morning. We have not discounted sin. We've dealt with that. The objections to these things are simply, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, how can you say that America can exist as a nation? How can you say that America has done enough to secure the blessings of God under the Abrahamic covenant? How can you say that America has done more to fulfill the Great Commission when we have all the sin that's in America? And we dealt with that. I believe that America is judging sin, that God is judging sin in America. I believe that God will continue to judge sin. A third reason I believe that America will remain a nation until the rapture takes place is that America has been a compassionate and peacemaking nation in the world, and the only world power that has ever existed that doesn't have territorial ambition. America has never had, as a nation, has never had an ambition to conquer and then control and incorporate territory of other nations. The second thought that we have in our thoughts is that America will fall overnight when the rapture takes place. Now, statistically, America has a greater percentage of its population that are born again than any other nation on the face of the earth. Now, we gave statistics from various studies, remembering that God's in control of this thing, folks. We're going to be surprised in eternity, I believe. We're going to be surprised at some folks that didn't make it to heaven. And we're going to be surprised at some folks that did make it to heaven. God's the one in control of this matter of saving souls, and we acknowledge that. Statistics are given, though, concerning the number of people that are saved in the various on the various continents in the different countries of the world. Statistically, there's a greater number of Christians in America than any other nation on the face of the earth. I believe that when the rapture takes place, that the devastation in America based on the rapture will be greater than the devastation of any other nation. A greater percentage of the population will be lost. We gave some statistics on that. Conservatively, when the rapture takes place, some 25 million people are going to disappear from America just like that. On the other side of that, on a broader range, and by the way, my personal belief is on the broader range of it, I believe that the number is closer to some 60 million or so people that will disappear from America overnight when the rapture takes place. Remember, when the rapture does take place, all the reasons for God to bless America are going to be gone. There's a fourth reason why I believe that America will remain as a world power until the rapture, and I saved it for last, and that's because of the presence of the righteous in America. Remember, you go back to the book of Genesis, in the situation there with Sodom and Gomorrah, you do remember, of course, Abraham began to intercede with God. And he said to God, he started with 50, and he said, God, he said, if I can find 50 righteous, would you spare the city? And God said, yes, I'll spare the city if you can find 50 righteous. And he went to 45, and he kept on going on down, and he finally got to 10. And God even said, yes, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 10 righteous in the city. Folks, there's a principle there for us. The principle is simply this. God blesses and God withholds judgment based on the presence of the righteous. Now, we have it just the opposite in our minds usually. Usually in our minds, here's what we say. There's so much sin in America. And folks, by the way, I'm not defending sin. We gave a lot of statistics on sinful stuff, on abortion and a lot of other things. I'm not defending that, and it's terrible, and God judges sin. But we've got it in our mind that God is going to have as His primary basis for judgment the presence of sinners, when the fact of the matter is, from the Word of God, the Bible teaches that God withholds judgment to those that are sinful many times because of the presence of the righteous. You see, it's my position that in spite of all of our problems in America, it's my position that there are more righteous people in America, saved people in America, than any other nation on the face of the earth. And I believe that that is one of the reasons why God has continued to bless America up until this time. When the rapture takes place, America will fall overnight. Matthew tells us that those that are saved are both the salt and the light of the earth. Think about it, folks. When the rapture takes place, all the salt and all the light's going to be gone out of America. When the rapture takes place, all those that know Jesus Christ as Savior are going to be called up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. All the righteous will be gone, and all the reason for God to withhold His judgment on America is going to be taken out of the way. I believe that the devastation in America will be so great that America will tumble almost overnight as a result of the rapture. I believe that there'll be absolute chaos in America when planes fall from the sky and automobiles go out of control. There'll be, if I can turn in my notes and get to catch up to where I am right now, there'll be social turmoil and panic in America as a result of the rapture. Remember, when the rapture takes place, somewhere, and God knows the numbers, somewhere from 25 million people up to maybe 60 or 70 million people based on the population of America today, which is, I'm told, I haven't counted them all, by the way, but I'm told there's some 300.5 million people in America right now. Remember in October of 2006, I believe it was, October of 2006, it was announced that the population of America went over 300 million for the first time based on the population, when the rapture takes place, some 25 to 60 million people are going to be gone overnight. When that happens, there'll be social turmoil and panic, economic meltdown, military confusion, governmental indecision. The salt and light is going to be gone. The friends of Israel will now be in heaven. I believe that all God's reasons for withholding His hand of judgment against America are going to be taken out of the way. Our last thought is that America will join the coalition of nations headed by the beast during the tribulation period. Now, let me see if I can set the stage for you for this last thought. Remember what signals the beginning of the tribulation period. Folks, I've made the statement in preaching and teaching over the years, I suppose thousands of times. I've made this general statement. I've heard preachers make it hundreds or thousands of times. You've heard preachers make it hundreds or thousands of times. And here's the statement. The statement is the rapture will take place and then the tribulation will begin on the earth. Folks, that is true. That is true with a little exception, though, according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, it's not the rapture of the church that signals the beginning of the seven-year tribulation on the earth. According to the Word of God, it's the signing of the peace covenant that the beast signs with the nation of Israel that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. Now, I'm getting at something. Whether you agree or not, please listen and I'll see if I can make this point. Daniel 9:27, the Bible teaches us that it's a signing of the covenant that the Antichrist makes with Israel. And by the way, in this, I confuse issues sometimes. I use the words beast and Antichrist interchangeably. Please keep in mind, we know the man of perdition, the Antichrist, as the Antichrist primarily in our talking and in our teaching. According to the Word of God, though, when you get to the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist becomes the character that's known as the beast that comes up out of the sea, and he's the beast in the last 3.5 years. So I use the terms Antichrist and beast interchangeably. I sometimes confuse folks with that. The Bible teaches, now here's my thought, remember, the rapture is going to take place. The rapture is going to take place, and all the saved in America are going to be called out. All the saved everywhere is going to be called out. But the notice of it, the devastation caused by it, will be greater in America because America has more saved people than any other nation. Remember, we gave the statistics. There's been surveys done that say that 32% of the people in America are saved. The same survey finds that in the Middle East, less than 1% of the population know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Obviously, the effects are going to be greater in a place that has a larger number of saved people than in a place that has hardly any. The rapture is going to take place. But folks, the tribulation period proper is not going to take place until the Antichrist signs the covenant with the nation of Israel. I believe there is a period of time, I've guessed, I put it in our notes, I ended the thought here by saying I do not know how long this gap will be. It could be weeks, months, or years, but I guess it to be 1 or 2 years. The rapture is going to take place. There's going to be some period of time before the Antichrist signs the covenant with Israel. Why do we say that? Very quickly. The Bible portrays the Antichrist as a man that comes on the scene at the beginning as a man of peace. We know that from Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25 and many other places in the Scripture. The Bible also reveals to us, as you begin the opening of the judgments in the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 6, with the opening of the first seal in Revelation chapter 6, we see a rider on a white horse, which represents warfare and conquest. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that from the moment the tribulation begins, there is no peace on the earth. There is no peace on the earth. The Bible on the one hand says that the Antichrist comes on the scene as a man of peace. On the other hand, the Bible teaches that in the tribulation proper, there is no peace on the earth. The Bible also teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, that the Antichrist will not be revealed until after the rapture takes place. What's the conclusion? The conclusion is that there has to be a period of time between the rapture of the church and the actual beginning of the 7-year tribulation period for the Antichrist to be revealed, for the Antichrist to reveal himself as a man of peace. Remember, in the tribulation proper, there is no peace. And by the way, isn't that just like the devil? The devil never comes through with what he promises. He promises peace, but it's indeed ironic that from the time the peace covenant is signed by the Antichrist with Israel, from the time the peace covenant is signed, there's never any peace on the earth, only warfare. The rapture takes place. After the rapture takes place, the Antichrist is revealed. He comes on the scene as the man of peace. He offers solutions to the problems of the world, peace problems in Israel, economic problems, all kinds of problems. He offers a solution to all those problems. In the process of time, after some period of time, he actually signs a peace covenant with the nation of Israel that is actually broken in the middle of the tribulation period. But from the time he signs the covenant, there's nothing but warfare and devastation that takes place on the earth. By the way, concerning this matter of time gaps, if you're in the things that we've written, there's actually three prominent time gaps in the book of Revelation. One of those time gaps is in between the rapture of the church and the signing of the covenant. Another of those time gaps takes place between the Battle of Armageddon, which marks the end of the tribulation, and the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Remember what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches after the final battle in the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon is fought. After that, and before the beginning of the millennial kingdom, in Matthew chapter 25, the judgment of the living nations takes place. How long is that going to take? I don't know, folks. But it's going to take some time, I would assume, for God to gather all the nations of the world before Him. Remember, there's a sheep and the goats and the brethren. They're all brought before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment of the living nations. That's going to take some time between the fighting of the Battle of Armageddon and the beginning of the millennial reign. There's another time gap in the book of Revelation, and between the end of the millennial kingdom and the beginning of the eternal state. Remember, at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan is going to be loosed from the bottomless pit for some period of time. He's going to go out and deceive the nations. He'll gather together a large following that will march on the throne, on the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that fire will come down from heaven and destroy them. Some time's got to be allowed for the fighting of the final conflict to be fought, for the devil to be cast in the lake of fire at the end of the millennial kingdom, for the great white throne judgment to take place, and for the purging of the old heaven and the earth. Folks, God's God. God's God. I don't want to say anything that would seem to indicate that I'm limiting God or having to say that God has to do anything according to any timetable that I have set. God is God. As far as I'm concerned, if God wants to do it, at the great white throne judgment, He can bring every lost person that ever lived before Him and pass His judgment upon them and do it in a moment of time that's no longer than a thought. Could I tell you that I acknowledge that before I go on? I acknowledge that God is God. That God can do whatever God decides to do because He's God. However, humanly speaking, if you took all the people that ever lived, including the great explosion of human beings that will take place during the millennial kingdom when there is no physical death from disease and those kinds of things, and you anticipate that there are many billions, perhaps as many as 40 billion people will be involved in the great white throne judgment, and if they were all brought before the Lord Jesus Christ one at a time, and if they were judged, and if you allotted 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever you want to them, do you realize that that time gap could be thousands of years long? Could be. Why am I mentioning these? Why am I mentioning these other gaps? I'm only mentioning it because to say that there's nothing unusual about having Bible prophecies that are separated by time that are not specifically mentioned in the context. Happens all the time in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets would give prophecies back to back that were separated by thousands of years, but we only know that because we have the New Testament now to go to and look to. Here's what I think is going to happen. The rapture is going to take place. Overnight, America will fall from world prominence. The devastation is going to be so great, the economic meltdown, the confusion in the military, indecision on the part of government officials. The salt and light's going to be gone. The reason for God withholding His hand of judgment on America will be taken away. America will fall from worldly prominence overnight. The great vacuum that's going to take place at that time is, I believe, one of the things that allows the Antichrist to arise to world prominence during that period of time between the rapture of the church and the signing of that covenant. There's going to be a great power vacuum left on this world when America is suddenly removed from its position of prominence, when America is no longer the one that is brokering world agreements based on military strength. When all of that suddenly is removed, it's going to open the door for the Antichrist to be able to assume a position of prominence in the world. America will fall, never to rise again as a world power, because obviously there's not very much time left for nations at that point in time anyway. Last of all, I believe that America will be aligned with the coalition of the beast during the tribulation period. I'm going to turn to page 56, and I don't want to reteach what's been taught in the past. But on page 56 of our notes, and by the way, those folks, you can go online, and Brother Dean and Brother Levi put this on there. All this is available online. There's four, page 56 of our notes, so there are four major military powers during the tribulation period. There's the beast or Antichrist will rise to power as the head of a 10-nation confederacy, which represents a revived Roman Empire. A lot of things could be said, but you can look at Daniel 7, verses 8 and 24, Revelation 13, 1 through 10, Revelation 17, verse 13. So there's one. In the tribulation period, in the 7-year tribulation, there's going to be four great military alliances, if you will. Number one is the coalition, the military coalition that's headed up by the Antichrist beast. Secondly, there'll be the kings of the south, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. This is the nation of Egypt and some other nations that have joined in with them. Thirdly, there's going to be the king of the north. You can read about this in Ezekiel chapter 38, Daniel chapter 11. The king of the north is Russia and a vast array of other nations, including but not limited to Persia, which is Iran, Germany, Ethiopia, Libya, and other nations. The fourth military alliance during the tribulation period is going to be the kings of the east. You can read about that in Daniel 11:44, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. The kings of the east would include China and other oriental nations that are aligned with them. Folks, during the tribulation period, every nation that can field an army is going to be involved in military conflict. Every nation is going to join one alliance or another for the sake of self-preservation. Now here's where I'm going with this. Based on what we see right now, I don't think that there's any question. Now stay with me. Based on what we see right now, I don't think that there's any question that America would join with the military alliance of European nations. Could I stop right there and make this statement? I believe that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. I believe that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. I would be surprised if it were a lengthy period of time before the coming of the Lord. However, could I acknowledge something? Could I acknowledge that the Apostle Paul thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come in his day? The Apostle Paul taught and pinned down under the inspiration of the Spirit of God that the coming of the Lord was nearer than it had ever been and that it could take place at any moment, that it was imminent. Paul thought that Jesus Christ was coming in his day. But folks, that's been a little over 2,000 years ago now. Now here's what I'm saying. This last point that I'm presenting to you is based on the way I see things shaping up right now. As we look at the alignment of nations, by the way, there's some discussion as exactly which nations are involved in which of these alliances, but there's no discussion as far as these four military alliances during the tribulation period. They're very clearly taught in the Word of God. Now, we can argue about whether Ethiopia is involved with this one or that one, but there's going to be these military alliances. Based on the way things are right now, and America's position in the world, and America's relationship to the nations of the world, I don't believe that there would be any question that when America is weakened by the rapture, and America falls from its worldly prominence and its superpower status, and when America is striving to maintain self-preservation, the way the nations are aligned today, I don't think there's any question that America would join with a European allegiance. What if it's a longer period of time before the Lord comes? I believe it's imminent. I believe it's coming. He's coming at any time. However, things could change. The landscape could change. I'm acknowledging to you that especially this last point has a lot of speculation on my part involved in it. if nothing else, folks, I want to at least try to be honest about this thing. Watch it all been brought about. All of this thought of the lesson has been brought about by this. I've always wanted to know, where does America fit in end time prophecy? Oh, I've read the books over the years. For the past 30 years, I've tried to read everything that I could get my hands on about where America fits in. And we started off this series by talking about some of the positions. There's some that believe America is the Babylon the Great, and I would disagree with that. And some believe that America is the lost tribes of Israel, and I don't agree with that. And some believe that America is the unnamed nation that's referenced in one of the prophetic writings, and some believe that America is one of the young lions of Tarshish, which if America is indeed mentioned in prophetic scripture, I believe that it's more likely that she is mentioned under the heading of the young lions of Tarshish. However, I've came to this conclusion. I've came to the conclusion that it's not provable from the Word of God specifically where America relates to end time prophecy. Because of that, I went to the next thing. What can we know about America? And it all hinges on Israel. Remember what we said? There's no question from the Bible. This whole basis for everything I've taught is this. There's no question from the Bible that Israel will be a nation up until the rapture and after the rapture. There's no question about that. My basis has been simply this. Israel cannot, humanly speaking, Israel cannot exist as a nation in the world today without the United States of America. America has been the friend of Israel ever since Israel became a nation in 1948. In every war that Israel has been involved in, we actually gave the names and dates of all the wars. In every war, America has been a friend of Israel. America gives more foreign aid to Israel than any other nation in the world. As a matter of fact, more than all the nations of the world combined give to the nation of Israel. And that brought us to the point of the promises of the Abrahamic covenant. God made a promise with Abraham concerning the nation of Israel. He said, "The nations that bless thee, I will bless. And the nations that curse thee, I will curse." And I believe being a friend of Israel has warranted that God be able to bless America as a nation, even in spite of all of our sin. At what point does the sin of America override the promised blessings of the Abrahamic covenant? Not sure I can answer that for you, folks. I'm not sure I can answer that. But I do believe based on the promises of the Abrahamic covenant, based on the fulfillment of the Great Commission, based on the fact that America has been a compassionate and peacemaking nation, and based on the fact that America has more saved people as a percentage of its population than any other nation on the face of the earth, I do believe that there are biblical reasons, that being them, to say that God could allow America to remain a strong nation until the rapture of the church. Think on these things. You don't agree with me? That's fine. Remember this. We'll agree on this. Jesus Christ will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What should we do in the meantime? Be saved. Make sure you know Christ as Savior. Yield yourself to the will of God. And do all that you can with your life to promote the cause of Christ. Jesus is coming soon.